EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Leadership Podcast is a production of EMSradio.com. You can interact with us via email, emsleadership@gmail.com, or call us 303-720-6001.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the EMS Leadership Podcast. And now here's your host, Chris Ceballero.
Well, yes, believe it or not, it's time for the EMS Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ceballero. And again, we are bringing you some great leadership content. You know, today I think one of the things that we're going to focus on is when we think about our jobs as leaders, we've got to be able to make certain that we're able to talk to people. And that really comes down to our communication skills. But if we carve that out a little bit deeper, what about our negotiation skills? Negotiation just isn't when we think about contracts or just isn't when we're thinking about partnerships. When we have to persuade people, it's an art of negotiation, and we want to be able to use those skills. So today, we're going to kind of outline how to refine and how to grow your negotiation skills. And with me always is those cast of characters on the East Coast, our international correspondent, Rob Lawrence. Rob, how the heck are you doing, sir?
I'm doing exceptionally well, and we are keeping very, very busy in the city of Richmond.
Awesome to hear, awesome to hear. And then we go a little bit down the road to the Carolinas and our good friend, Don Lundy. Don, come on in here, say hello to everyone.
Hey, everybody. It's a great day in Charleston. We just got through putting 47,000 people on the bridge run, and for the first time in the history of the bridge run, 3 heart attacks out of that bridge run. 2 who did not make it, and 1 that checked out of the hospital yesterday to go home. So great weather, great place to live, and glad to be here.
Let's go ahead and head out to the West Coast and our good Italian friend, Patrick Pianezza. Patrick, how are you?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
You kind of heard the setup, and when we think about our negotiation skills, you know, really for a leader, they say that our communication skills are really important, and we think about the most important leadership skill. I'm going to say it's probably our ability to understand nonverbal communication, but that's a whole other show. But one of the things that I want to talk about today is I want to talk about the ability to negotiate and how to, you know, kind of bring and develop those negotiation skills. You know, this is one of the things that I think is really important as we now start to think about how we get our points across and how we get buy-in and how we deal with our stakeholders and, you know, even our patients and the folks that we deal with at the hospital. So I think first, Rob, I'm going to come to you and maybe just give us an overview of the importance of being able to have good, strong negotiation skills.
Well, I think first it's very important. But before you have good, strong negotiation skills, you have to be a great listener. You talked about nonverbal communication. We seem to have these days difficulty with communication, period. So firstly, the ability to listen, because that'll start to give you a clue of what the person or the body or whoever is after or wants or seeks. And so listening is a very important skill. And they say that, you know, you spend more time listening than you do speaking, because that helps you to understand, to comprehend, and to form, you know, a strategy or a direction of travel. So listen first. And then I think in terms of negotiation, you as the negotiator then have to work out, this is my personal view, you know, what you can live with and what you can live without. And that will help you kind of frame up the discussion that you have. My experience in negotiation actually came from being in the UK, where unlike here in Virginia, which of course is a right to work state, I spent time in the union shop. And my job as the chief operating officer there was to face the shop steward or the convener or the secretary. And so being very good at listening what they wanted and then formulating where your points of contact are and what you can live with and live without in terms of that negotiation are absolutely key. But first thing first, listen.
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, you put that spin on there. And, you know, as we think about that, I really like how you kind of, you know, set that up to say to be a good negotiator, to, you know, to talk about, you know, whatever the issues are, you really need to hear what somebody else is saying. Another component to that, I think, is really you need to know both sides of those arguments. But we're going to talk about how to prepare for a negotiation in a minute. Don, I want to ask you now, as you think about those listening skills in a negotiation, what are you listening for? I mean, so I think Rob kind of outlined that really well. And if we think about the work that we do as negotiators, a lot of it is listening. So as we're going through that, you know, that step, what are we listening for?
I had a mentor when I first got into this business. His name is Lee Godwin. And one of the things he really harped on was listening to the patient to find out what's going on. And like any newbie, you know, I was shaking my head, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. And he stopped me for a minute and he said, I don't mean listen to him. I mean listen to him. And it probably took me a couple of weeks of watching him talk to somebody. And let's face it, when we're paramedics in the field, we're negotiating all the time with patients about what's best for them or what we think ought to happen or what is going to happen. And yes, it is going to hurt, or it'll hurt a little bit, or this won't hurt at all. I mean, we're negotiating all the time to have a great outcome. But the really good paramedics out there don't listen to what the patient's saying. They listen to what the patient's saying. And that means not only the words coming out of their mouths, their eye contact, their smile or lack of, they're looking away at you or looking right at you, having that sense of dread in their face that something's happening and it's not good, having that sense of fear in their eyes that you know that we're in the wrong place and we need to get away from wherever we're at, having a look of, and of course, everybody knows that the one negotiation that you really can't negotiate on is them having that look of peace. Rob is exactly right. You have to have those listening skills, not only to listen to what they're saying, but to listen to what they're saying. And that means understanding, like you said, Chris, understanding that side of the fence. If you don't understand what view is of the other side, negotiations really don't work very well. You need to understand both sides of the argument, both sides of the fence, and you have to have the ability to start, have it in your head that your idea might not be what is the final idea, and your idea might actually be wrong or misconstrued or at least not have the same focus. I think negotiating any way except face-to-face in a room where most of the threats and the elations are all taken out of the room and the mission is at hand on the table while you do it, eye-to-eye to talk about the issues, promising everybody at the beginning that if somebody says something you don't like, don't worry, it's not personal. You're going to say something I don't like, and we're all going to say something you do like, and that's how this works. And sometimes that can be really difficult in a room where there's people that definitely want their inch of the floor. But listening is, I think, one of the best tools you're going to have, because no matter what, you know, if somebody develops an idea, you can kick it around the room and listen to what everybody thinks about it. And I want people to think about that, not only listening to what they say, but listening to what they say.
Excellent points, Don. Thank you very much. So, Patrick, I want to go ahead and shift gears a little bit. But if we think about preparing to negotiate, if we think about the process that people need to think about as they, you know, I've got to go into work tomorrow. And Patrick, you've worked in big healthcare systems, and I'm sure you've been in these positions that you're now going to have to prepare for this talk tomorrow, this negotiation, this buy-in. And I want to say that there's a process that you need to prepare. You need to do your homework, if you will. We'll make it as successful as it can be. Maybe you can give me kind of the top three things that the listeners out there can think about as they're preparing.
Whenever you start talking about any kind of negotiation, the goals have to be on the table. And those goals need to be able to be shared. So when you're talking to the person sitting across the table for you, it's not necessarily adversarial. Oftentimes, even in union negotiations, you could find common ground. And I think the important part is being able to articulately address the point that you're trying to make. So is it higher quality service? Is it faster response times? Is it a new contract you're trying to win in the municipality? I think there's always places where you could find common ground. So it's clearly articulating that goal. Now, motivations for that goal can be whatever they need to be, but whenever you can get around the table and get everybody in alignment as far as what it is you're trying to achieve, you're already starting to bring those people on board into whatever the outcome is going to be. And I think part of that, as Don kind of mentioned earlier, is yours may not be the way to get there. However, if everybody's focusing on the same aligned strategy or the same aligned goal, that's where everything needs to be focused on. And so whenever the conversations tend to go around in circles, you can always bring somebody back by aligning back to what is the originally articulated goal is that we're trying to achieve. Once you have that established, start looking at your trades. What are the things that you are going in with, kind of like your cards that you're willing to fold, the things that you're willing to give away, or the work that you're willing to take on in order to move your and advance your position. So are you willing to be responsible for a couple of extra reports in order to get the other team to optimize a FTE in your favor? What are the things that you can't live without? What are the things that you know you can't leave the table or it's just a bad deal? Those are the things that you need to be able to have in your hip pocket. You need to be able to go in this with a lot of preparation, a lot of homework, and realize that it is a give and take by nature of it being a negotiation. We have to be able to have something that we are both willing to work as a team on in order to fulfill the goal that we've agreed on. And then conversely, looking at alternatives, it takes a team in order to attain any kind of gold. And so what you think is the best way may not be the way to do it. And so I think you need to also be able to consider what's your best alternative. What is something that you can fall back on? I almost look at things like having three things ready to go. So I've got the absolute prestige thing that I would love to have. I get 10 extra FTEs all the time I want and no other responsibilities. That never happens. The second thing is kind of a more realistic standard of what it is that I'm going to hopefully get. And then finally, where's that bottom of the barrel? They took me to the cleaners, but I still got what I needed and can function with this absolute bare minimum and be able to have that as an alternative. And then conversely, you can also use that as a trade. You could sit there and say things like, I appreciate the fact that we're all trying to do this. However, with the current workload allotted to our team, we need either an extra, half an FTE, or if your team could help us with, this dashboard report or whatever that looks like. You have to be able to give, take, you have to have a clear goal. And I think the other part of it is you have to be able to have something in your back pocket that you're willing to fall back on.
Yeah, and I think you bring up the really good point about the trades, and we can really look at that almost as a compromise as well. You know, you may go in there and say, I need somebody to do this 7 days a week, and one of your trades could be, you know what, give it to me at least for four. You know, I mean, so it's true that you may need to take on some extra duties, but you may need to come off the ask as well, and that could be part of that process. So, you know, Rob, I think that Patrick really kind of lays out a good beginning to that. But now as you start to get into the nuts and bolts, maybe you can share another tips for the listeners about how to continue this process in preparing.
My opening statement, of course, was about listening. Let's just talk about you, the negotiator, okay? Firstly, you have to leave your ego at the door. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about us and what we can achieve. So, you know, don't use the word I when you're in a negotiating sense. You also have to show genuine respect for the people that you are dealing with. You have to have genuine respect for the people that you are dealing with. And it comes back to the body language, which is another show, as you say, Chris. But, if you are looking pretty miffed, pissed off, you are disrespecting them with your body language and you actually disrespect them with your general demeanor, then, you might as well pack it up and go home. And so a few things about, preparing yourself and preparing your body language and, take a deep breath and get in there and lead. I think, as Patrick already said, you have to think win-win. Now, some people would say that's where you win, then when you win again. But, of course, what is it, the common ground that enables everybody to walk out of there with something in their pocket? Even today, as we record this show, we have members of the of President Trump's inner circle talking with President Putin. We have President Trump talking to the Secretary General of NATO. There's negotiations going on as we speak, in fact, live on a much grander scale than us, of course, although I'm sure we could give them a few top tips. So think about the win-win. Think about how both sides can walk out of there with something. But, of course, it is a negotiation. You are, at the end of the day, seeking to win something. Let's be honest. Let's be absolutely plain and simple. that if we're negotiating, I seek to achieve a position that's better than the position I have right now. Otherwise, why are we bothering to negotiate? So that's the kind of the bottom line of it, with showing respect, etc. You know, you must always kind of be the adult in the room. Don't, you know, become childish when something isn't going your way. You know, you have to have a little bit of humility, but you also have to have the poker face, and you mustn't actually go down into, you know, sort of childish behavior. So in other words, be the adult in the room. So again, I'm majoring this time about your conduct as the negotiator, and actually therefore, if you can set some of these parameters up, then it enables you to go forward in a business-like, sensible, adult, mature, yet respectful way.
Yeah, and I really like those things, and I think that the respect is a big thing. This is where emotional intelligence really comes in as well. You know, in this process, as you start to think about negotiating, it really isn't about your ego. I like how you said that, Rob, because now what that's going to be able to do is take you outside of yourself to realize that you're really maybe talking for the organization, or you're talking for the workforce. So I really like how you said that. Don, I want you to focus on two points for me now. So as you're preparing to speak, we're talking about maybe the expected outcomes and the consequences of what we're going to do in this negotiation. How important is that as you're preparing?
We need to remind those listening, a lot of people are going to think about the first thing is union negotiations, and certainly that's out there. But that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the everyday negotiations that goes on. And I think it's important to have a general 50,000-foot level focus of what you want to accomplish, but realize negotiation isn't linear thought. So if you get too, I think, if you get too drudged down in I have to have X, the negotiations aren't going to go well the minute it turns from that path because you've decided you want X. I think you need the 50,000-foot kind of grand horizontal level look at what you'd like to do. I've found that most of the time, if you don't focus in on X and you say X is the only thing, X is what I need, you usually end up in a better position with much more in this project than you ever thought because you were able to stretch your mind out. I think this is truly one of those things that it's the journey, not the final destination, that makes you win. So I think whenever you have that issue that's out there, you certainly want to focus too much on it, or you say, this is absolute. And there are some absolutes that are out there. If that is an absolute, you can do one of two things. You can put it in the back of your head and say, I might not go to absolute. Or you can put it on the table and say, look, regardless of where we go, I want to see if we can get to X. Now, you need to read who you're sitting with, and if that's a no starter, the negotiations are pretty well over. If everybody says, well, the whole idea is to negotiate, sometimes that's not possible, but you really need to read the table to see if that's the potential of being put out there. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. I would rather go in with a general 50,000-foot view and know that where I'd like to be is here, but honestly, I don't know where we're going to be at the end of this, so let's let the horses run free and see what happens.
I love the Western reference. I think that works really well. So I want to shift gears here a little bit. I kind of mentioned emotional intelligence. Patrick, I want to go ahead and kind of bring you in here for this. And when we start to think about, you know, because Don made, mention, I mean, you talked about that, you need to have goals and you need to be, know where you're going in there. And then, you even talked about those trades. So you're kind of preparing for that. And, Don really kind of put it into the expected outcomes of this is where we really need to try to get to. Sometimes you're not getting your point across. Or sometimes you may be you find yourself on the backside of that negotiation. How do you bring yourself, around to kind of get your points back on the table, or to kind of, I don't want to say get the upper hand, but get back in the game?
That's a great question. And I think part of that is always looking and assessing the room and seeing why that is, why that's occurring. I mean, did you just sit through a 60-slide PowerPoint about, the importance of having trees in the front yard, or has it just been something where something derailed the meeting? And it's always a good idea to call for a break to kind of reconvene with people. But ultimately, you have to be able to make sure your message resonates with the crowd that you're in. And part of that is power holding and power that it's not. And I know powering, the word power gets a bad rap, but it's a real thing. I mean, everybody has a boss, including the CEO. CEO reports to the board, board responds to the community. There's always leverage to be held in some degree. But the point is to be able to reach solutions without having to rely heavy-handed on a statement of power, to be able to say that you will do what I say because. Now, in management situations or obviously in EMS situations, you have to be able to command power in order to in the most literal sense, save lives. But as Don said early on, the majority of the things that we're negotiating at the management level are never things that have to happen quickly. And so I always try to, whenever I need to bring something up or try to get back into the meeting or bring alignment, again, I focus back on why everybody's in the room, what brought them here. And if it's too far gone, then it's, I'm more likely to call for break and say, let's convene in 5 minutes when everybody can get back together. And usually that's when people start pulling cell phones out. If people are texting during the meeting, you realize that meeting has gone far too long. Bringing people back to the purpose that we're trying to address and reinstating its importance to the company, the organization, the community at large,
right,
in order to keep going with what it is that we need to get communicated.
And I think that was really awesome. I mean, it was very, very, I think, on the spot. You know, Rob, I want to switch gears with you a little bit. And, you know, Patrick just kind of talked about how to kind of get back in the game. I like the thought about taking the break. I like the thought about, you know, reconvening with the people on your team to say, you know, what should I do now? You know, even if there's people in the room or people outside the room. You know, how about this? Take it from this side, Rob. What if you're negotiating and you realize that maybe you just don't have the best position?
Okay, first of all, let me just add to something that Patrick said, and he talked about people getting on their cell phones. In any meeting you go to, you guys on the other end of the interview tonight and anyone else listening, you'll notice that subliminally people switch off in any meeting. And the way that I always can tell that is when people come into a meeting, they will spread their stuff out across the desk. There'll be a cell phone, there'll be a notebook, there'll be a tablet, there'll be a computer, there'll be a cup of coffee or something else. And as the meeting draws mentally to a close in their minds, all of those things will start to come together until you have the most perfect pyramid of equipment in front of them. And then they start to kind of use their hands to shuffle them even more of us into even more of a square. And you go out and watch. When people are done, all of their books get piled. All of their stuff is in a big heap. And you see that, and that's the point you know that it's done. So it's not only playing with the phone, it's the fact that we build a pyramid out of our stuff on the table. You go and look at that. So if you realize it's not quite going the way that you want it to, by all means, and Patrick's already said this, you know, you might need to take a break. If it's just you on your own, you might need to take a moment to have a thought about what to do next. If you're in a group of people, you might wish to retire and work out, consider and contemplate your position. So why do we not have the upper hand? Why are we not getting what we sought to achieve in the first place? Do they have a point? Are we being, you know, pedantic and not agreeing to something we know is an inevitability? So step back, think about it, reconsider, and then work out. Then maybe you may have to come back in with another position. You may have to come in from another tack, another point of the compass, if you like. But take a moment, have a think, work out what it is that you can settle with. And actually, sometimes you may have to go back to the old standard, which is, of course, let's agree what we can agree upon, and then let's put everything else aside for the minute and maybe come back and start again. In other words, get out of the way what you can get out of the way. Things that you, and inevitably you will have things that everybody's in agreement on, and therefore you can make a little concession, they can make a little concession, and you can move forward on those points. But if you get to the point where it's not going to happen, then perhaps you just need to pick the, you know, dare I say, the low-hanging fruit and run with that for the minute. Or you can say, okay, yes, we agree, you've got a point, we back down and off we go. But, what is negotiation? Well, it's a period of uncertainty. It's where nothing is decided or something has to be decided, and therefore you need that communication, discussion, and application of good common sense to make it happen. So, but if it's not working, take a moment, reconsider, and work out how you can best make the best of, you know, the situation that you're in.
So, Don, you know, I think we've covered a lot of things here tonight. I really want to start with our final thoughts here. So for the listeners that are out there, I mean, a lot of years in EMS, a lot of years at sitting at the table, a lot of years with just talking back and forth with the workforce and your peers and members of your leadership team, stakeholders. What's the best advice do you have for them to develop their negotiation skills?
Well, the piece of advice I have is to always remember there was a line out of a movie that it's somewhat of an evil movie. There's an attorney and a gentleman running a firm, and the attorney asks a question, and the firm manager says, are we negotiating? And he smiles back and says, always. And I think the idea that we can plant in people's heads are, especially as a leader, there is no time that you're sitting in a meeting with people who you work with that a negotiating process isn't going on for something as minor as what we would think is minor and something as major as a life care event. You negotiate with your patients. You need to hone those skills and realize you're just not negotiating with sick people. You're negotiating with someone in regards to their personal life. Use those skills, hone in on them so that you hear what they're saying. And not just that, but you hear what they're saying. And I think Patrick had a good point. There has to be a goal somewhere. I would augment that with sometimes you don't know what the goal is when you step into the room. You sometimes don't know what the goal is when you sit down at the table. You think you do, but through the process, you find out that's not it. I think no matter what the tools that you use, in negotiations, flexibility is truly the key. And if you are a linear thinker and don't have very good flexibility skills, you need to work on those before you even think of working on your negotiating skills. But always listen to what they say, and then listen to what they say.
You know, one of the things that I got out of that final thought really was from the way you described it is you're negotiating all the time, even when you're not. So I really like kind of how you kind of sum that. So we head out to the West Coast for Patrick P. And that's his final thought. What do you leave the listeners with?
I'm a huge fan of bullet points, Chris. And so my final thought's pretty simple. The first one starts with don't underestimate the people that are in the room. And that could be from any myriad of options. Don't think that you're smarter than them. Don't think that you've been doing it longer or that you know everything going into any negotiation. Whenever we're looking at whatever those issues are. So don't underestimate the other folks sitting across the table from you. Try to make a relationship with them. And then the other big thing is stick to facts and goals. So I talked about goals earlier on in the podcast, and I think that's important. Don just mentioned the goals again, and I think that's really important. There's always going to be a goal that you could come back to, and that's something that has to be mutually agreed upon. And it may not be the one that you think of when you came into the room, but ultimately, regardless of how counter-opposed you are, diametrically opposed from your, let's call them adversaries for the time being, there's always a silver lining there that you could come to agreement on. And that's always important to bring people back to. And when you start talking about facts, it's important that you're utilizing the same set of facts. You can't change some of the variables to make your story sound better. There has to be an agreed upon standard of what those objective facts are going to be. And then finally, it's all about the respect for the people on the other side of the table and collaboration. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You have to come in with a shared respect for the work that these other folks are doing and understanding what their goals are. But more importantly, you have to be able to work with them and make trades, be able to be flexible, as Don said, and what Rob had reiterated earlier. It's all about that teamwork in order to make this conversation go in a way that is more beneficial to the organizations and ultimately to the patients that we serve.
Yeah, I think you brought up some really good points there. And again, you know, one of the things that I got from there is, you know, don't think of yourself as the smartest person in the room and respect the people that you're talking to. Last but not least, of course, our international correspondent, Rob Lawrence. Go ahead and share your final thoughts with us.
Well, let's be brief. So have a plan to listen, lose the ego, find respect, understand what you want, anticipate what they want. If necessary, rehearse the argument with someone on your side before you go and have it. My son's in cybersecurity, and the things they do, they have what they call a red team, and the red team's job is to defeat the blue team. in order to make sure the blue team wins when they go out and do it live. In the military, when you plan an operation, you have somebody that takes an adversarial point of view to your planning in order to make sure that it works for you. So do your homework. And I think above all, be cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, I think those are really great points, and it is kind of to the point, Rob. And, you know, for you guys out there, I'll give you my final thought. And I want to change my premise a little bit for my final thought. And I think our panel, they gave you some really great advice. They talked about goals, and they talked about respect, and they talked about compromise, and they talked about, you know, kind of having an end in mind. One of the things that I try to do in negotiation is not go in with a preconceived notion of what I want. Because one of the things I think you do with that is you really kind of set yourself up for, this is what I got to get out of this. And if I don't get anything, if I don't get this out of it, if I don't get this goal out of what I'm trying to do, I've failed in my negotiation skills. Sometimes it's a discussion. And sometimes it's the points to say, I think that this is the best practice. I think that this is the best outcome. I think that we should move in this direction. And then from there, you respect the people that are in the room. You listen to what they have to say. And together, you're finding the option that's best for the situation. So when you think about your negotiation skills, really kind of make it a process and not really goal-driven. Now, we got to sit down. We got to talk. We've got to make certain that we're coming to some type of outcome here. But does it have to be predetermined before you walk into the room? Sometimes the answer is yes. Other times, try it with an open mind and see how it works out. Ladies and gentlemen, it was great to spend some time with you. For Don Lundy, Patrick Pianezza, and Rob Lawrence, I'm Chris Sabalero, and we'll chat with you again real soon.